Hello and welcome to Money Wisdom. John Stillman here alongside Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. We'll hear from CEO of Johnson Brunetti, Joel Johnson, later on in the show with the CEO's Corner. But Eric, first thing I have to ask you about is the first ever, I think you can't call it the first annual. If you can't call it annual until you've had a second one. So you're technically supposed to call it the inaugural, I guess, Johnson Brunetti Golf Tournament. Tell us about that. What were you raising money for? How did it all work?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It was wonderful. Anyone who's worked with Johnson Brunetti or talked to me, we've been talking about this for a long time. People say, why don't you do something like that? And it's a big undertaking. We had, you know, wonderful people within the company who said, I really want to do this. We've been involved for years with a lot of different local organizations, but really focused on ones that help out two groups, which is veterans and kids. So we've done a lot with Make-A-Wish. So that was our big motivating factor behind this is, you know, more from Make-A-Wish, because we love Make-A-Wish. We've been granting wishes for a long time with, you know, the Connecticut division and up in Massachusetts, and I just love it. You know, three little kids myself. That was what got us going. It is a lot of work for anyone who's done that before, and we had a fantastic day with perfect weather. We did it over at TPC in Cromwell, and it was amazing. Had a bunch of clients, had a bunch of new people that came out to support, and raised a lot of money for Make-A-Wish. The final count is still being done. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say, but it's look like it's going to be over $30,000 for Make-A-Wish that we're going to be able to give, which that's the first time I've said that. So hopefully I'm accurate. But that's amazing.
That's great.
I mean, raising $100 for Make-A-Wish would have been amazing. So I'm just so appreciative of all the people that got involved and all the people that helped. And it was, you know, even people that supported it that don't know who we are and I've never talked to before. And they said, yeah, I'd like to get involved. So that's, like a better word, that is awesome. And I am so thankful for everyone who made it a great thing.
So safe to assume there will be a second annual tournament.
If we can convince all the people on the committee and the company to do it again, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But yes, I would love to see that happen. And yeah, anything Make-A-Wish is just, they're just such a wonderful, and so many places support that organization and should. I mean, there's a lot of great groups out there, but you know, anything to help a kid smile, that is just great. The best.
So if you missed out on this one, we have a very loose commitment from Eric that there will be another one next year. So stay tuned for more on that. Good to see you guys doing things out in the community like that. Eric, let's talk about some financial planning topics here. We're going to talk about, I'm going to give you a scenario, and you tell me why it might be an opportunity instead of just a crisis. Because where some people see a crisis, other people see it as an opportunity. A lot of that has to do with your mindset. Some of it may be just the circumstances of your life. But I'm going to have you explain to us how different people might view these differently. The first being the quote-unquote crisis of the empty nest. The kids are gone. Crisis for some people, an opportunity for others, right?
Yeah. The days are long and the years are short. As I'm told by people who have empty nests, told to someone who has a very full nest, as I do. And I love every minute of it. But yeah, I was talking to a real good friend of mine earlier today who last weekend, their youngest of three kids graduated college. And she's sad. You know, it's amazing. You know, in their instance, all three kids go to school, but it's also sad. It's changed the time. So from a financial standpoint, you know, I can only imagine writing that last college check, if that's the plan that you have. You know, for a lot of people, if you're raising kids or you're paying off a mortgage or you're trying to save, it's hard to save for retirement in those times. So for a lot of people, once, let's say you have that emptiness, it's time you can finally focus on you, whether that's saving, doing more stuff just for you. That's a big shift, and it can be a big positive shift.
All right, here's an odd one, Eric. Market crashes. Again, most people are going to view this as a crisis. They see their 401k balances down, their IRAs down. Why might that be an opportunity?
It's all about when you need the money, you know, and I think about all these cliched lines. Or like when someone is like, oh, I love when the market goes down. It's great buying opportunity. No, you don't. I don't like when the market goes down. No one wants the market going down. But of course it's going to go down. It's what it does. It goes down, it goes up, you know, and we don't really celebrate much when it goes up and the sky is falling when it's going down. But you need balance. You know, I just got out of a meeting with an 87-year-old, you know, and still, they have some money that is not for today. Now, I'm not saying, hey, lock it up for 30 years, but we all need three buckets of money. So that's bucket, you know, we have to keep our lights on and buy food today. We have to make sure we have emergency money available for emergencies or fun stuff. Let's go on vacation. And then we need money for later. So it depends on, do you have these different buckets? Are you looking at your money that way? And also, do you have too much money in the market? You know, because when the market goes up for a decade in a row and then it goes down, you're not allowed to say, I didn't see it coming. It's what happens. You know, and we've talked about it before that, you know, it's probably not different this time. And the market's going to do what it's going to do, and it's efficient, but you're different. You know, you're different every time. Maybe you're 65, and last time you were 55. So that's why you need a plan, and that's why you need to be reviewing your plan regularly to make sure that it's still appropriate for you, because as we know, anything can happen at any time.
And often it does happen. All right, last one on this topic, crisis versus opportunity. Eric, getting laid off, or maybe a forced retirement kind of situation, which really, I guess, is just another way of saying getting laid off. Why might that be an opportunity when initially you're going to see it as a crisis?
Because sometimes you can't make the decision. You know, a lot of people are really good at making decisions and then, you know, being good parents or good colleagues or whatever it's going to be. And when it comes to their own life, maybe you just can't decide. And sometimes you need someone to help you with that decision, getting laid off. Eric, you know, let's be reasonable here. Getting laid off is not a great thing. I mean, I have met with the clients who are going to retire in 6 months and then they get laid off 2 months later and they get a package. And yeah, that's a great thing. That's a wow. This is amazing. But you're working, you're saving. Hopefully you have a plan for retirement. And I have met the people who have worked too long or they're working when they no longer need to work, which is fine. It's fine if you like to work or if it affords you a lifestyle that you're more excited about than if you weren't working. At the same time, if you're in a position where you can retire, you want to retire and you don't retire, time to talk to someone to get perspective on what's holding you back. And it's, you know, it's easy to say when you're 30, oh, I'd retire today if I could. Well, I bet you wouldn't. Not if you were faced with what are you going to do with yourself tomorrow. I encourage people to have that conversation with, you know, your significant other, if you have one, with your family, friends, because you don't want to get that notice that you're getting laid off and now I got to figure this out. So know first, can I afford to retire? And then you can decide whether or not you want to continue to work.
You have a book in the Johnson Brunetti Library called Forced to Retire. Joel Johnson wrote that a few years ago. For people that are in that boat who maybe have gotten not necessarily forced into retirement, maybe they have been forced, or maybe they have the option. Maybe it's the buyout offer and they're saying, should I take this, take the 6 or 12 month severance, maybe the pension buyout, or do I stick around and try to see how long I can last? The Money Map Retirement Review can be a great opportunity for anybody in that boat. Eric, what does that process look like?
Having a conversation about this stuff. You know, it's fun talking about, you know, should I buy this stock or that stock? We haven't even mentioned that today, and we usually don't. We're talking more about what's on your mind as you approach retirement or you get into retirement. What are the things that you are going to care about that maybe now you don't know that you will, that maybe we do? Because like I said, I just got out of a meeting with an 87-year-old, and I can tell you what he cares about now is a heck of a lot different than what he did 10 years ago and 10 years before that. So the review is about, you know, giving us a call, scheduling a time, sitting down, having a conversation about this is what's going on. You know, how that visit starts is, you know, tell me about yourself. You know, most people are sitting down where they're either retired or getting close and feel like they've done a decent job, but they don't really know and don't necessarily have a plan. Well, let's talk about it. Tell me what's on your mind. How might we be able to help? And it's just a conversation. So you can call us at 1-800-705-1232. Again, that's 1-800-705-1232. You'll leave a message. We'll give you a call. We'll schedule a time. Don't procrastinate. Have the visit. Have the conversation, because a conversation isn't going to hurt. And hopefully it helps a lot.
Absolutely. Call or text, whichever is easiest for you. 800-705-1232. If you're calling, leave a message. Let us know you'd like the Money Map Retirement Review. Somebody from the team will get back with you later. Find a time to make that happen. If you want to text, just include your first and last name. Somebody will contact you that way. Bottom line is you don't need to have your calendar in front of you right now. Right now, you just need to call or text while it's on your mind. We'll figure out the details later. 800-705-1232 is that number. That's 800-705-1232. You're listening to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti. Let's go to the CEO's Corner.
It's time for the CEO's Corner. It is the CEO's Corner here on Money Wisdom. We're joined by Joel Johnson, CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. And Joel, I'm curious today about advice, financial advice that you've given to employees over the years. Now, I think anybody who has a 401k at work probably has had somebody at work who's sort of in charge of the 401k, who's explaining how it works and how you can start putting your paychecks in there every month and all that. But they're always very quick to say, now, I can't tell you what to invest in. I can't give you financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. It would be illegal for me to give you investment advice. Well, you're in an interesting position in that you are an investment advisor. So I don't necessarily care what sort of 401k allocation advice you've given your employees over the years. But I am curious to know, what sort of financial conversations have you had with employees? Are the questions they're asking the same kind of questions you get from clients? And how do you navigate those conversations?
Great, great question, John. I want to just back up to something you said a moment ago, and then I'm going to come back to answering your question. Your question really, the answers fall into two places. They fall into financial advice and they fall into investing advice. But let me back up a minute. Anybody that is in my business that owns or controls a financial firm that doesn't give advice to their employees about the 401k that they're offering their employees is copping out. That's a weak move. For heaven's sakes, the worst thing that can happen is somebody works for a financial firm for 30 years and they're not on solid ground when they retire. So, you know, pony up and give your people financial advice. It's not illegal. You're just trying to take the safe way out. And yet we give clients and prospective clients financial advice all day long. So make sure your employees are taken care of. I don't really care what the rules are. We're going to give advice to our employees on what to do with their 401k and, you know, how to invest that money. And when I say I don't care what the rules are, I mean this whole idea of, you know, to protect a company, a human resources department says nobody can have an investment conversation with their employees. I think that's just nonsense. I care about rules. I care about right and wrong deeply. You know, we follow absolutely all the rules and we work with clients. But if somebody works for me and they put their trust and their financial future in this firm and devoted their lives to this firm, we're going to help them out. That said, that's the end of my rant, John. Okay, now we'll get to your question. So, advice I think falls into two categories: financial advice and investment advice. Let's talk about financial advice for a minute. Financial advice would be, and here's what we tell our employees: stay out of debt. There's good debt and there's bad debt, and don't get involved in bad debt. What's good debt and bad debt? Good debt would be a mortgage. Good debt would be borrowing money to buy a home. And, you know, you own an asset that at the least is going to hold its value and will most likely over time appreciate at a rate of somewhere between 3% and 6%. So you're paying yourself that money you would pay for rent. You're getting a bit of a tax break for it. I know there's certain details there, but you're getting a bit of a tax break for it in most cases. And you're getting some growth. And you're owning an asset that someday the debt will be paid off. And the asset, most likely, when the debt paid off, will be worth more than what you bought it for. So that's a good thing. Mortgages are good debt. Bad debt. What's bad debt? Bad debt is credit card debt where you don't have anything to show for the purchase. It might be something where you have something to show for the purchase, but it's still good. Could be bad debt, you know, like borrowing money to buy TVs and go on vacation and so on. That's just bad debt. You don't have anything. You have an experience. But you got to pay those credit cards off every single month. The other thing is cars. I'm pretty convinced that the biggest waste of money people make over their lifetime is buying cars. And let me say what I mean by that. Wendy and I, for a long time, never bought a new car. We would buy our cars 2 or 3 years old. You know, I can buy, let's just take a luxury car. You know, we had a client come in this last week and he drives a Mercedes and it's a 3-year-old Mercedes. That car brand new might have cost $75,000. I can buy that car today used because it's 3 years old for probably $40,000. Very few people are going to look at that car and know that it's new or 3 years old. I'm going to drive that car and I'm going to feel just as good as I did in either when it was new or 3 years old. I'm driving a very quality car. You know, it's if you like making a prestigious statement, you know, maybe it does that. I'm not really into that, but I love things that are quality. But there's an example of, you know, I just saved myself either $40,000 of cash by buying something 3 years old, or financing $40,000 of cash. And so we did borrow money to buy cars when we had to, but we borrowed money to buy cars that were 3 years old. We didn't have to buy a new car. And that's, again, folks that feel like the second their payments are done on one car, they got to go buy another one. And if you add it up, not just the interest you paid over your lifetime, but the depreciation on the cars and the opportunity cost on that money, because you could have invested that money somewhere else, it could actually come out to more than your 401k balance, even if you've been saving really well in a 401k for all those years. So cars, be careful when you buy cars. Try to buy cars that are 2 or 3 years old. You can get a very, very nice car, you know, whatever spectrum, whether you want to buy a Chevy Malibu or a Mercedes, still buy a really nice car that's 3 years old. The credit cards. Don't get involved in credit card debt. Understand good debt, though. Understand that a mortgage is good debt. Now, let's talk about investing advice. So, and again, the difference in age sometimes gets people. So I can tell you that, you know, the folks here at our firm that actually process business and serve customers and so on, they see how we invest customers' money, which is pretty conservatively. Most of our investors are good savers, and so we tend to invest like pension plans do, just trying to get a smooth rate of return, not trying to beat the markets. And we've seen some people, young people, that will tend to do things like buy Bitcoin, buy gold, things like that, and that's a bad idea. That's just a bad idea. Am I saying Bitcoin, you can't make money on Bitcoin? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, let's be real clear. It's not an investment. It's a trade. It could go up. It could go down. A lot of people bought Bitcoin when it hit $60,000, and I'm not sure what it is now, but it's at least 50% less than $60,000. So those type of things, we tell people, you know, stay away from fad investing. Just make sure you're investing as long-term investing. Yes, you can make adjustments from time to time. You can change funds. You can change, you know, a stock portfolio that you're in. But it should be a well-thought-out change. It shouldn't be reacting. The other thing is, and this is a big one, if you think that you somehow have found some investment opportunity that the rest of Wall Street has somehow missed, don't buy it. Just don't. I have been on trading floors of Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, BlackRock, American Funds, Putnam. You have literally 100 people staring at 6 screens doing analysis all day long. You haven't found something they've missed. Trust me. So don't get involved in, you know, thinking you found some company that's so undervalued and Wall Street's missed it. Is that possible? Of course it's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible, but 9 out of 10 times you'll be wrong. And the 10 times that you're, you know, the one time that you're right will not make up for the 9 times out of 10. The worst thing that can happen to a newer investor is to be really right the first time they put money in, because they'll think they were smart and they were just lucky. So we do talk to our employees a lot about investing and, you know, making sure you're doing good long-term investing. People ought to be saving 15% of their money in a 401k, period. That's it. Save 15%. If you're young, if you're under 50, put it in growth type investments. You know, you're going to have mutual funds in there. As you get over 50, then you want to start blending it into more, yes, I still want my money to grow, but I also want to preserve my principal. And it's that simple. This is not complicated. The biggest thing we do as financial advisors is protect people from their own decisions, protect people from their emotions. It's not about finding the perfect investment.
I'm interested to hear you explain this difference between investing advice and financial advice. I think a lot of people would assume those are the same thing. For a lot of people, I think they just assume, well, I'm going to talk to a financial advisor. What I'm going to get is investment advice. But I think what you've just laid out here is that when somebody comes in, specifically from the Money Map Retirement Review, yes, there will be investing advice, but there also will be financial advice. Would that be a safe assumption?
Absolutely. And most of the time is spent, a significant amount of the time is spent on financial advice. You know, when you retire, do you want that mortgage paid off? What's the plan to do that? Do you have kids that you're trying to help or maybe bail out of a bad financial situation? Can you afford to do that? Let's look at your situation. None of that's investment-wise. That is all just good, solid financial advice. And so there's definitely a blend in what we do. Obviously, it ends with, you know, the money that we have saved for retirement. Where should we allocate that capital? Where should we invest that money? That's the investment advice part of it. But there's a lot that's financial advice, just plain and simple.
So if somebody wants to come in for that Money Map Retirement Review, what's that process look like and how do they get it started?
So the process is really simple. You come in, you sit down, we can have a cup of coffee if you're a coffee drinker. We sit down, we get to know each other. We'll ask some questions about your goals, your dreams. That's the most important part. We'll look at your finances. What are you saving right now? What do you have invested? Are you retired already? Can you take more income or less income, or should you be taking less income off your investments? Do you want to die and leave money, not do you want to die, but when you die, do you want to leave money to charities or to children, or do you want to just spend your last nickel on your last day and bounce the check to the funeral home? What are your financial goals? And then we'll build an investment plan around that. But the most important thing is that meeting that Money Map meeting, when you come in and visit with us, and so many of you already have done this, and you know this, it's just a relaxed conversation. Yes, we're going to get deep into hopes and dreams and where your money's invested and so on, but you're really getting to know us, and we're getting to know you. And if you want us to go forward and build a plan for you, that's great. If you don't, I promise you it will be time well spent. So, and all you have to do is give us a call. There's no obligation. Just give us a buzz at 1-800-705-1232. Once again, call now, 1-800-705-1232. You can also text that number. Leave your name. We'll give you a call back and set up a time for us to visit.
Again, 800-705-1232. You don't have to have your calendar in front of you right now. You will get a call back later to schedule that Money Map retirement review. 800-705-1232. Thank you, Joel. That is the CEO's Corner with Joel Johnson, CEO of Johnson Brunetti. You're listening to Money Wisdom.
Back now with Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti. Let's open up the mailbag. Eric, we have a question. Who's in here today? This is Vince, who says, I heard a lot of people say that you should really work until 70 and then start your Social Security. I'm only 57 now, and I can't imagine working another 13 years. Do I really need to work that long?
No, or maybe longer. I don't know. That's why you should have a conversation.
Maybe less. Maybe you need to work till exactly 70 or to a later age. Hope that helps, Vince.
Clearly, Eric doesn't know. But here it is. You know, with the answer of it depends, have a conversation about it. Because, Vince, maybe you're in a position you could retire now. You know, we were just talking about it. It's different for everyone. I remember a couple retired at 50 years old. When I asked them how much money they need for an income, they said $1,350 a month. I said, per person? They said, total. Now, that might not be your lifestyle because it's not my lifestyle or most people's. Granted, this was also a while ago, but their priority was, I want to be done at 50. And then I've met people that are going to work forever because it supports the lifestyle that they want to have. So it's very specific to you. It's people often look for that. Well, I live in Connecticut. How much money do I need to retire? I don't know. But we can help you figure out what that is, right? You go through a budget and say, how much money do you spend? Let's start there. How much money do you spend in a year? Don't anticipate in retirement you're going to spend way less because you're not going to. You're going to have more time to do more of what you want. Are you going to move? What are those big expenditures in the early years of retirement? And when we look at your income sources, do you have a pension? Right? Social Security, earliest you're going to get it under normal circumstances, 62. That's not a recommendation, although neither is waiting until 70. And then what have you saved? How much income can you generate off of that? And yeah, I hope you live a real long time, so we can't plan for you to go bust at 70 either. So you start factoring in all these things, and that's what the review is about, is just getting a clearer picture of where are you, and everyone falls into two groups. This is it. You have enough money to retire. You don't. That's it. You're one or the other, and after not that long of a conversation, we can tell you which one you're in, and that's helpful to know, right? Because if you find out, oh, geez, I am in a better position than I thought I was, and I guess I am looking like I can retire. Well, now you can decide whether or not you want to work, knowing that you don't have to work. At the same time, if you're the other side of that spectrum, you need to know the answer to that. Because if you have to work until 70, you know, maybe that changes how you invest. Maybe your life savings can't be sitting in a bank making next to nothing. You know, when it comes to Social Security, the general rule is the more you save, the more flexibility you have, and the less likely it is, I'm going to recommend you wait till 70. I want you to get as much money as possible out of Social Security. And a lot of times a way to do that is triggering that benefit and living a long time.
The bottom line is you need to get the question answered for yourself because it is going to be different for everybody. Eric, in, I don't know, let's call it 22 seconds or less, tell us why we need to come in for the Money Map retirement review.
The question Vince just asked, which I very much appreciate, can be answered in that review. That's why. Call us at 1-800-705-1232. People have questions on all types of things. There's no bad questions. The bad thing is doing it all on your own when you don't have to and not getting a second opinion when you could get one for free and it might help. So call us at 1-800-705-1232 and it will help.
You can also text. Either way, the number is the same. 800-705-1232. 800-705-1232. Thanks so much for tuning in to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti. We'll talk with you next week. Same time, same place.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered through JN Financial, LLC. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the Yukon Huskies athletic program.
Better Money is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.